Good morning, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. This morning is a special morning. It's the first Sunday of Advent. But do you know why we celebrate Advent? And as you can see, there are five candles, and each of those candles represent something very remarkable. So the first candle, does anyone know what it signifies? So it signifies hope. And John 1 verse 5, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So if we take that light, if we see Christ, we accept him, that light, we can overcome any darkness. And there is hope. In Psalm 23 verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear. For you are with me. He is with us. He is with you everywhere you go. So there is hope. So at this time, I'm going to ask Danielle to come and light one of the candles, please. And next week, you will find out the name for the other candle. So, thank you, Daniel. So as that candle is burning, you will know, remember that there is hope. God has given us hope. This morning, I would like to introduce to you, but to my surprise, he's well known already. It's none other than Reverend Sean Samuel. He's from the New Testament Assembly in Baysford. So he's married with 5 children and 12 grandchildren. Very expensive this time of year. And some notices. As you know, we're in the season of Christmas, and as usual, we'll be having the youth group, the children and young people will be having their Christmas service and Christmas dinner. And this will be on the 15th of December at 10:30, but every child needs to be here for 10 o'clock, please. On the 14th of December, that's a Saturday, we have a rehearsal at 10:30 a.m. The more, the merrier, we get things done and they're back home before 12. On Saturday, the 21st of December, at 4 p.m., we will have our Christmas carol concert, social, whatever you want to call it, your togetherness, your mingling, whatever. It is a fun time for us. And we will all come together, have our Christmas service, carol service, and then afterwards we will mingle, have some food, and have fun. On the 22nd of December, there will be all-age service. And therefore, the Sunday school will resume on the 5th of January. So after the 21st, after the 15th, that would be the last Sunday school session. And I think that's it from me. Thank you.
Come on, let's put our hands together again. Thank you, Diane, for those notices. As was said, I'm Bishop Sean Samuel. I serve at New Testament Assembly, David Lane in Baysford. It's my pleasure to be here on a Sunday morning. First time here on a Sunday morning. I have done many funerals here. We have hired this building before to have one of our concerts for our national convention. So I'm very used to the building and used to some of the faces that are here. But a warm welcome to you all, and may you have peace and rest in Christ and hope as we go through this service today. I'm going to ask Sister Shanley, because I can't sing, and my kids told me, Dad, stick to what God has called you to do, so don't try and sing, because all of you would just run out of the building if I started singing. So I've invited Shanley to come and sing for me today. And we're going to stand and sing our first hymn. If you can stand, if you can't, we understand. All hail King Jesus. Father, we thank you so much today for your goodness towards us. And Father, we thank you that you've given us not only the strength but the desire to be present in your house this morning. We ask as we come before you in worship that your Holy Spirit may touch our hearts and inspire us to draw closer to you each day. May you bless everyone that is here today. Those that are coming up to Christmas and have lost loved ones and the shape of Christmas have changed for them. We ask for your strength and your grace to be with them. Lord, those that are praying for loved ones that are ill, we ask that you will join, as we join in our prayers with them, that you will comfort them in the time of despair and heartache and pain. We pray for our world around us, that you will bless us. And as we come in this morning to worship, may our hearts be glad to worship you, knowing that it's a privilege and an honor that you have given us to come into your house this morning. May you bless the organists, the musicians. May you bless everyone as we join our voices together and our hearts together. Even the young ones that have come in today, may they find the mystery of worshiping with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you so much. I would just like to read a portion of the Gospel of Matthew to you, and I'm going to try and make it simple. It's where we would have our all-age talk. And I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through to 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Look at your neighbor and said, God with us. God is with us. Amen. And there are two brief thoughts I would just like to share before the young people and the children go to their classes. The first one is, the God of mystery, adventure, made you like himself. That is why your imaginations appear to be limitless. So children, young people, you dream. And before your dreams are touched by what the possibilities are, you go to school, they tell you in your stats what possibilities you can achieve and what you can achieve as they estimate your stats for the end of the year. But God has filled your heart with dreams. And you will dream, and some of the dreams you tell us, I want to be an astronaut. I'm thinking, wow, you're only 5 years old and you want to be an astronaut. What is happening? You got such a limitless imagination by God before it has been shaped by the disappointments and the frustrations of life. So keep dreaming, because you dream like God. And very quickly, my second point. In those imaginations lie the secrets of faith. So let this Advent be an adventure for you. Ask your Heavenly Father to show you just how close he is to you at all times, in every situation, in school, at home, on holiday, playing out with your friends, or just resting in bed. And I suppose that goes for us all. It's this great adventure. I've been a Christian now for 41 years. And since I've become a Christian, I've treated my experience, my relationship with God as my Heavenly Father, as this great adventure. And I go exploring. Every day I read the Bible, I go exploring that I can find out more about this God that I sing to, this God that I pray to, this God who loved me enough to die for me. Children and young people, and to all of us, when I look around the room, I see years of experience. I can tell by the gray hair and the feeble knees. We're all there. And all those young people, you look at me and I haven't got any hair now. But once I had a big Michael Jackson afro. Would not see it or know it today. But experience and life has taken its toll. But Jesus loves us all. And as we enter this Advent, let's be filled with hope. Let us not let the hope of Christmas, the hope of God with us, die like so many today who said there is no God. But let's keep hoping. Let's keep praying. God bless you so much, children and young people. We're going to stand and sing our second hymn as the children get ready to go to their classes. All heaven declare the glory of the Lord. Amen. If you can stand, if you can't stand, we totally understand.
Yeah.
be seated. I know I don't want to keep you standing, but let us just bow our heads as we say the prayer of intercession for the world. God and Father, who have made this world, in the beginning when you have made it, you said it was good. And Lord, our world has become marred by wars and crime and violence. And so we pray for the nations of the earth, Father. We pray that there will be peace through Russia and Ukraine. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and put a measure of balance and judgment in the hearts of the rulers of these nations. And that there will be no more needless death, needless suffering. We pray for all those that have been displaced by the wars around the world, Israel and Palestine, Israel and Hamas. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come and bring peace upon the land. It is your voice we wait for, Father. For you did not make us to destroy each other, but to help each other. We pray, Lord, for the arrogance of the leaders of our nations that refuse to listen to the counsel of wise men from around the world. We pray that their hearts may be opened. And Lord, that they may leave this world in a better place than they have found it. We are asking you, Heavenly Father, that you will send your love out in this season. We pray, Father, for the Christian missionaries around the world that are suffering for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. We pray that you will give them boldness that you gave to the early apostles. You give them boldness and you will give them great grace to stand and to testify of your goodness. And Father, we pray for our communities, the communities that we live in. Lord, we hear of the crime of young men taking the lives of other young men and young women. Needless waste of life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be close to us and show us how precious this gift of life is. We pray, Father, for those in the House of Parliament that are debating very difficult decisions. We are asking you, Lord, to give them wisdom and counsel that they will make the right decisions, considering the sacredness of life. We ask you, Holy Father, that you will come. Your word tells us we should pray for the leaders of the nations, that when the world is at peace, God, we will have rest. And so we pray for the leaders of the nations, those nations that are suffering from the natural disasters. We pray that you will intervene. And those nations that are rich, we ask that they will open the bowels of their compassion and continue to grant aid to them, that they will stand. May we not be as Cain, who says, am I my brother's keeper? But may we be moved with the bowels of compassion. And if we have, may we give to those that are in need. Father, may you bless us today. May you bless the armed forces. May you bless the police force. May you bless the hospitals and the emergency services, Father. We pray for them. We pray for their strength. And we ask that your Holy Spirit may rest on them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Our God is really good. It is my privilege to stand before you. I hope through the address I can share with you some of the things that I myself have been through in life. And what a privilege I feel to stand here before you today, to actually bear the name of Jesus on my lips, because it is such a precious honor. I would like to read from the book of Psalms, Psalms 98 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord had made known his salvation. His righteousness he hath openly showed in the sight of all the heathens before all the nations. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And I wanted to talk about the hope that Advent brings. This hope is a hope that God sent into the world in the form of his son Jesus. When we look back, we go back to the very book in the beginning, Genesis. We were told that God made man in Genesis 2 and 7. And when God formed man from the dust of the ground, the Bible said God breathed into man his own breath, and man became a living soul. And everything that God did, God said it was pleasing to him. It was good in his sight. He made man like himself. And one day, the man and the woman decided that they weren't going to listen to God anymore. They were going to do their own thing. And so they decided to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were separated from God from that day. God loved them. He cared about them. But something entered their heart. A sense of lawlessness. A sense of self-righteousness. And that we have seen from year to year, from decade to decade, from millennia to millennia, has grown. Until now, man says, there is no God. And in the midst of all that, God says, I'm going to send a part of me. I'm going to send my son. And I'm going to let my son die on the cross. And I'm going to let my son take the punishment of the world. And I'm going to let my son give salvation to the world. That word salvation there comes from the Greek word soteria, which means to rescue from harm and from danger. To be saved. That's what it means to be saved. To be rescued from harm and from danger. And then we hear John the Beloved said in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, they should never perish, but they will be rescued from perishing and they will have everlasting life. And so King David here was narrating prophetically that God was going to bring salvation. Bible said in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began to preach, he said, David being a prophet, David was prophetically speaking into the nation, and he was saying, God loves this world, and in spite of the world hating him and not wanting to walk his ways, God says, I'm going to take a chance on humanity. I'm going to die first. I'm going to put myself out there for them. And Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have turned to our own way. But God laid upon him, Jesus, on the cross, the sins of us all. So that today, you and I, brothers and sisters, we can sit here and say that we are children of God because we have accepted that great gift of salvation. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew narrated when God began to speak and Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus was in Mary and Joseph was concerned because in that day, if a lady was found to be expected with a child and she was not married, she would be publicly ridiculed and put aside and ostracized from her community and no one would look upon her and love her. But in the midst of that, God spoke by an angel. He said, Joseph, don't put Mary away. For that which is in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. This is a promised salvation. This is the hope that the world was looking for. In those days, can you imagine The Roman emperor was ruling in Jerusalem, the city of God, where God's people should be occupying. The Roman empire was occupying. The people lived in their land, but they had no rights in their land because it was dominated by the Roman empire. But God loved them enough to send Jesus in the midst of that trouble to redeem them. And that was the beginning of Advent. The hope of the world, the light of the world. And God loved us enough to show us how kind he was. That even when he came to the place where they mocked him and they spat in his face and they plucked his beard out. You know, when you were a child and you had that fight in the playground, don't know if we can cast our minds back there for a moment. And the person, your opponent, couldn't beat you, they would grab hold of your hair and start pulling on it. Somehow you would seem to give in because of the pain that inflicts upon you. They did all that to Jesus. The Bible said in another prophecy that he offered his back to the smiters when he was tied to Pilate's whipping post. And they whipped him 39 times, and all that was the hope that he was bringing into the world. And in John, the book of John, John the Beloved tells us again that he came to the world so that the world could know that we have salvation through him. We have a redeemer through him. We have a hope through him. After we leave this world, my brothers and sisters, it's not the end. We know this because when Jesus died on the third day, he rose again. And he spent 40 days on the earth. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, it's recorded. He visited his disciples. He visited them in the upper room. He spoke to them. At one point, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, he visited over 500 people at one time. Why did Jesus do that? To burn the hope of a better future in the hearts of his followers. Because I live, you also shall live. And oh, I look at you and I look down in the congregation today and I see people that when I see you on the street, I will call you mommy and daddy because you're like mothers to me. And we know that this world, we will all have to leave this world, but you'll have a better hope, a brighter future, a place where John in Revelation tells us we won't die anymore and we won't cry anymore, but we will live with him. We will be around his throne and we will worship him because the hope of Advent has come. So today we are not looking forward to the hope, but we are looking back in reflection and with great joy. The prophets and the nation of Israel, they look forward, sometimes with uncertainty. I hear in the book of Judges chapter 6, when God called Gideon the judge, and Gideon says, where are you? Where are the miracles we heard of? Gideon was looking for a God that delivered, but he had anticipation and he had uncertainties because he wasn't sure that God was still around. But we look back today and know that he has always been there. He is here with us today by his Holy Spirit. And he will secure our future as we move into our future. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And what I love about God as I was meditating upon this and thinking about bringing this to you, God didn't send Jesus in the world like a superhero flying around the universe. He didn't send Jesus in the world like Iron Man, where he got beaten down, but he just got right back up. No, he sent him in flesh and blood, just like you and I. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he became flesh, that he might know just what you suffer. Just what you're going through. Parents, that might not know where your children are today. You have been estranged from your siblings because of some disagreement, and you don't know where they are today. God sent this Jesus, robed in flesh, with the same compassion, the same understanding, just like you and I. So whether you're in a crowded building like we are worshiping here today, or when you're sitting alone at home in your living room and you're waiting for the next visitor to come, there is one that is always beside you. His name is Jesus. And he is with us through the Holy Spirit. I stand before you today. I'm now 63 years old. I started my journey when I was only 21 years old. But before that journey began, I was one of those young boys that you would pass on the street and not want anything to do with me. Because I used to smoke cannabis. I used to sell cannabis. I used to break into people's houses. I was always fighting. I was always cheating on women. All before the age of 22. So I stand before you today as one that has experienced the redemption that Sam spoke about, that saw the powerful salvation of our God. And for the last 41 years, I've been walking with Jesus. I stand before you as a young man that left school at 18 years old with 16-year-olds. Because in the Caribbean, in Antigua, where I come from, if you don't pass your end-of-term exams, you don't move up to the next grade. So the two last years of my schooling, I doubled. Can you imagine that? I stand before you today as one that couldn't read or write. Can you imagine that? I stand before you as one that has no formal qualifications, no GCSEs, no O-levels, no A-levels. I stand before you as one that when I came to Christ, he started to teach me how to read and how to write. And as I get ready to close, I want to share for you one verse of scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Look at your neighbor and say, there is hope. Isaiah 61. I'm going to just read three quick verses, bring it into context. And this is Isaiah speaking about the prophecy of Jesus coming into the world. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel of good news and tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And this is the verse 4. And they shall build the old ways, and they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. That's what God did with my life. He rebuilt me from a man that used to swear, I have not swore in 40 years. I've not had a fight in 40 years. I've not smoked a cannabis spliff in 40 years. I've not sold any cannabis in 40 years. And out of those 41 years, I've been married in January to my wife for 38 years. I've not known another woman in 38 years. He has rebuilt the old ways. He has raised up the former desolation of many generations. God is the God of rebuilding. Christianity is more than coming to church. Christianity is the joy of knowing that I have God living with me. You have God living with you. He is that good shepherd that will lead you into green pastures. He is that good shepherd that will lead you beside the still waters. Many of us are going to have troubled waters at times, but He is that God that can give you peace where there is trouble. I know what trouble of raising children are like. My son disappeared for 2 years, 24 months, didn't know where he was, but I prayed. Every night I prayed. Sometimes I woke in the middle of the night and I prayed. Now I see my son almost every week. My son's life is being rebuilt. I've got 4 daughters. They're all Christians and in the ministry with me. Some of them now are doing their doctorate. Some have just accomplished their masters. Some of them have written books, they're authors. How our God has sprung from me, who couldn't read or write, have no qualifications, but I was able to teach and train my children the ways of God. And now they can be productive providers in society rather than being a nuisance in society. So God bless you this morning. Thank you so much for inviting me in, for coming to be with you. It's my pleasure to share a part of my life with you because God gave me all of His life. We are going to stand and sing our 3rd hymn, Ascribe Greatness to Our God. When you understand what I've just said, this is why I picked these hymns this morning. Ascribe Greatness to Our God. Such a pleasure. Before we go any further, just let you know, can you just put that on your notebook and your memory, that there'll be tea and coffee served in the hall after. So I'm sure today, after being in the cold, some of you are looking at a good cup of Earl Grey. It'd be black coffee for me with two sugars, very strong. So, yes. We have already had the prayer of intercession, so on your program you notice it says there a prayer of intercession. But can I be a little bit unorthodox? I'm not going to call you to the front. In the Pentecostal churches, we call you to the front to pray for you. But if anyone here has a family member or something you're worrying about that would just like us to say a special prayer over you, you can just slip your hand up. We're not going to ask you to do anything else. If you'd just like us to pray, God bless you. I'll see those hands up in the balcony. Anyone else would just like us to say a special prayer over you, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you so much. Prayer is a beautiful thing. Prayer has brought me through many things. I can give you testimony after testimony of what prayer has done. One of my young daughters, before she became a Christian, was dating a young man that was going to take her way off track. How many know what kind of stuff I'm talking about? And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And one day, I had a dream. Jesus still speaks in dreams. And in that dream, I saw me approaching. Two of my daughters were standing together with this young man. And I was going to him and said, please leave my daughter alone. And in the dream, he was just sucked away from my presence. It's almost like he was taken away in a vacuum. 2 days later, my wife told me that my daughter had broken up with this young man. God answers prayer. Amen. He still answers prayer. He's still speaking dreams today. The Bible is not for yesterday. The Bible is a timeless book. It's the word of God. It's ageless and it's timeless and it still works. So I say that to encourage you that whether you sit on your bed because you can't kneel and get up anymore, or you sit in your living room in the sofa, or you lie in bed at night, just whisper a prayer to Jesus. He is hearing and he will answer you. Amen. Let us pray. Let us bow our heads. God and Father, we pray for those that have raised their hands today. We understand that you hear and answer prayer. In the book of Mark, he said, whatever we ask in your name, if two of us shall agree, whatever we touch concerning you, you will hear and you will answer. And so as they have raised their hands, today I stand in total agreement with them. Whether that's an ailment in their body, whether it's a lack of finance in their home, whether it's a word of wisdom and counsel and direction for their future or their loved ones, we ask you, Heavenly Father, show yourself gracious again. Answer, meet those needs. When Jesus stood praying at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I'm not praying for myself because I know you hear me always, but for those that stand by. I ask you to hear, answer their prayers this morning, meet their needs this morning. And for those that might not have responded, but they have something deep in their hearts, a deep longing. Maybe someone is waiting to hear from an old school friend. Maybe someone is waiting to hear from a family member that they have not seen for a long time. Lord, make this possible. Make the reunion possible by phone, in person, by chance. By providence, I ask these mercies before you, Father, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus, and I give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have our fourth and final hymn. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Amen. I'm going to invite Sister Sam to come again.
I
Let us say the benediction or the blessing. Now may the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, full fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, the Lord turn his face towards you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you his eternal peace. God bless you. Turn next door to your neighbor and say it was so good for you to be here. Amen. God bless you. Please go and enjoy some coffee and tea. I'm sure they're going to give you a biscuit as well. God bless you so much.